This is 2GO Summer Breakfast with Mandy and Widow.
Central Coast Radio. Oh, Central Coast, we did it. We made it through another week.
Yay, well done us. We actually got it.
Yay, it's almost the weekend.
Pat on the back.
It's Friday. Doesn't it feel good?
It
was Valentine's Day yesterday, so we're all loved up. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Well,
are you loved up? How did your scratchy tickets go down?
Yeah.
With Elisa? Did she like them?
She didn't scratch them.
Oh, so you don't even know whether you're a millionaire. You could be working right now and not be... You might be a rich.
Look, put it this way. Evie was a little terror last night, up and down, up and down all night.
There's not a lot of love in your household.
No, neither Alyssa and I got much time last night. So, look, we'll scratch them later on, and maybe...
You might be a millionaire.
I might not be at work Monday morning. 107.7
2GO. Speaking of kind of happy endings...
Okay.
A really lovely, very straight couple in Ohio have started a Kickstarter campaign to bring about an app.
Okay.
Now, I reckon this is kind of a good idea, and I'd love to know what you think, Widow. It's called LoveSync.
LoveSync.
LoveSync, S-Y-N-C, so LoveSync.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a button, like on your phone, like an app, that couples can hit to indicate to each other that they're in the mood for sex.
Okay.
So you can kind of see when your partner's feeling a little bit...
Yeah.
And then you can either go... Nah, or Do you know what I mean? And like they're getting a lot of stick about this. Like, hang on a minute. Why don't you just talk to each other? Why don't you just look at each other? That kind of thing. But I think this is kind of not a bad idea.
Is it? How old's this couple? Are they?
They
like
got
an
kids
older?
And stuff.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say maybe they're an older couple just doing something different to spice things up a little bit.
I think he's 40 and she's 38. So yeah, exactly. They've got a few kids. You know, they've been married for a while.
Yeah.
What do you think? Would you and Alyssa use this? You're a happily married couple.
No.
You wouldn't?
No, you could just kind of like, you just go, and that's kind of what you do.
Like, is that the extent of foreplay in your household?
Well, it's just kind of like, hello, I have had 4 hours sleep last night. How much did you have? Do we have any energy? Well, maybe not. But I could see guys like going, I think this app is broken. Like just constantly pushing the button. I don't think this is working. This is no good. And then I could see like the mum just going to like the 13, 14, year old son going, sweetie, can you help me with this app, please? I don't know why or what's not going on. What's the app for, Mum? Well, it's a button that your father presses when... actually, don't worry
about it. Don't worry about it, darling. Or maybe just install another button that says, I have a headache. 107.7
2GO. We're now joined on the show by a comedian and friend of the show, Michael Schaefer.
Guys, if you want to nail the first date and you're a guy, I reckon what you need to do is you need to make sure that you nail... the reverse park on the first date.
Oh, really?
That's absolutely what you need to do. I reckon nailing a first park is an aphrodisiac. I reckon if you want that relationship to go to the next step, you've got to be able to hit a spot.
I think you could be right here because there's nothing screams, I don't know what I'm doing, than having to go, go out, go in, go out, go in, not go out. Like, there's no confidence there.
No, you can't. You've got to be able to find the spot in all situations, all right? And it starts with the parking, okay? All right.
I love where you're going. So this has obviously happened to you then.
So I want to tell you about my first day with my girlfriend, right? This was about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I thought we'll go to this nice Italian restaurant and we're driving there. Now, I just got on my license, not a very confident driver and or parker, right? Mm. Just got on my license and we drove there and there was a spot right out the front of the restaurant. So I'm like... I've got to take it, but it's a small spot. It's not something you could easily fit a car into, right? So I'm like, okay, fine. I got to do it. I can't show panic. You can't show fear on a first date. You got to be like, yeah, of course, I can nail this. And I do this all the time.
Yeah.
Because usually I'll try and go. I tried to go. So this is what I tried to do. I thought I'll just try and go forward into the spot.
Oh, no.
Which
works. That has never worked once for me in my life, and I still occasionally try it.
It's one of the laws of physics that it just won't work. It's like gravity causes things to fall to the ground, and if you go forward into a reverse spot, you're not going to get in.
You're not going to get in. That's it. That is it.
So I start doing it that way. That's not working, right? By the way, I have to explain. This is out right at the front of the restaurant. There's people sitting out on the street watching me.
You've got an audience.
All right? So I go in forward, and it's also on a main road, by the way. So I'm blocking traffic while I'm doing this. Then I've got, okay, I'm not going to do this, and so I reverse out. And then I decided to try and reverse into it, right?
Yep.
And I'm reversing into it, and I'm just not going to make it. And my girlfriend is just, like, covering her face, embarrassed.
This is your first date.
This is my first date, right? And to the point where I'm clearly not going to make it in. So a good Samaritan having dinner leaves his date to come over to me and offer assistance with getting into the spot. That is the most emasculating thing that can happen.
So he's going, come on, buddy, move it back. No.
He's going, this much room.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and I'm like reversing in and out. Eventually, I tap the car behind me as I'm reversing.
No.
So now I have, my girlfriend is just so embarrassed. I have to get out and check the damage. There's no damage, fortunately.
Oh. But just another guy, a little tiny,
but,
yeah.
But the guy whose car I hit is also watching now, and he's come out to inspect what's going on.
Oh, no.
And he can see I'm having the worst start to a date ever. He's like, no, you're fine, mate, you're fine. And it's got an audience. Eventually, we get into the spot, and then Amanda, my girlfriend, turns to me and she goes, "We're not eating here."
Oh,
did she really? She just pulled the pin on the account.
We can't eat here. We've just had 20 people watch us reverse to this spot and hit the car behind us. I just pulled out and drove away.
You pulled out and drove away after all that.
Oh dear. 107.7
2GO. We need some romantic music.
Oh yep, cute.
Well, it's just a bit of a post-Valentine's Day, you know, bit of a post-match report, really, I suppose, for everybody. You know?
How'd we go, team? How are we feeling?
How are we feeling, team?
I feel like I'm in a 70s soap.
Now, this is Big Gay Al, our producer, and I have to say, yesterday, bit of a surprise, because Al's living with me at the moment, and I got home from work, rocked up in the driveway, and as I pulled up in the driveway, there is the most enormous bunch of flowers that I've ever seen in my life. Like a big bunch. We're talking, this is hundreds of dollars worth of flowers, right?
Was it like gerberas and lilies?
No, we're talking
like
really posh. Like
really?
Really posh.
Roses.
Like, it was beautiful, right? And I've rocked up and I've seen this bunch of flowers and I've gone, oh, somebody loves me. This is amazing. I've got Valentine's flowers,
just
right?
Sitting on your doorstep right
They're sitting
there.
Sitting on my That's doorstep. Beautiful. They're amazing. They're big. And I'm thinking, oh my God, who could this be? This is exciting. And I scramble out of the car and I get to the front door and there's a little note on it and it's to Alan. So Alan was the one that got the gigantic bunch of flowers. Your lucky thing.
Apparently, you meant to put them into a vase when you get them inside.
You haven't put them in a vase yet?
No, I didn't know. I'm not a guy who gets flowers ever. So
Alan, you need to cut the stems, get a vase, some sugar.
Sometimes you can put sugar. Sometimes you can put aspirin in there to keep them alive a little bit longer.
Are they hungover as well?
Oh, that's very sweet, mate.
I was
shocked. No one has ever bought me flowers or anything
that's
ever.
That's so lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, Luke, you're a lovely boy.
There you go. Lovely
Luke. Did you do anything for Luke, mate?
In my defense, I was going to. So I had this whole romantic plan.
Just busy, you know?
No, not that at all. I said to him, oh, what do you feel like for lunch? Because you're working in Sydney, I'm up here working on the Central Coast. I can't exactly take you to lunch and be all romantic. So I took it next level and I was going to order him lunch via Uber Eats.
Oh, that's a bit cute.
And I had it lined up to go, right?
Yeah.
And he messaged me at about 11. He goes, hey, by the way, team are taking me out for lunch.
Oh.
Because he's finishing up at his current job. So
that's that. Yeah. So you got him nothing.
Then I said to him, well, I'll come to Sydney and do dinner with you. He goes, oh, sorry, I've already got plans. And I've gone, well, you're a loyal friend. A crap boyfriend, but I get it.
And what about you, Widow? You had a beautiful card with some scratches. Yeah. How did that go down for Valentine's Day?
Yeah, no, it was good. The card. I remember I said the card's a great card.
You said the card was going to make Alyssa cry.
She cried.
She did cry.
She cried when she read the card.
There you go.
It was a very
Job
cute
done.
Card.
Job well done.
We haven't scratched the scratches yet because, Evie last night was a little six-month-old, up and down all night. She had a rough night. So we had a rough night too, but that's okay.
No itches were scratched last night in the Whittington household.
Yeah, no, last night, not in the way rough should be had.
Thanks, team. we'll scratch those later. But you, how are you? You looking
fresh.
Well, yeah.
I mean, but fresh this morning.
I don't want to throw you under the bus here a little bit, but that shirt doesn't look like your own.
Okay.
Did you? It looks like a men's shirt, if you're asking me. It doesn't fit
I
very well.
I may or may not be wearing a men's t-shirt this morning.
It's quite large-ish on you. You're a very petite woman.
I may have had an adult sleepover last night.
Hey!
Hello, boys.
Valentine's Day.
We had lunch, which turned into dinner. So it was lovely.
You can eat.
Oh!
2GO. 107.7 2GO.
Mandy, one great thing about Australia is our animals, our wildlife.
I know. Who can't go past a cuddly koala?
Exactly. Koala. What do you think of quokkas? Quokkas are great.
Quokkas are cute.
They're beautiful, aren't they?
And bilbies are also quite cute.
Bilbies are adorable. Yeah.
They're adorable. Yeah.
It's our Australian native wildlife. It draws a lot of people here. And also scares the bejeebers out of a lot of people and scares them from actually coming here. I mean, sharks.
Yeah, sharks, spiders and snakes are probably the top three. I remember when I was a kid, we had some Irish scouts staying with us on a scout exchange. And I'll never forget their very first night. We showed them to their room. We're settling them in. They've just had this big flight. It's all very good.
Yeah.
Lights out and we all toddle off to bed. And then I hear this, it's a bloody cow. And they'd seen this huntsman Adelaide, which we do grow on big down there.
Yeah, the huntsman's classic.
It's the size of your hand, and they couldn't sleep. So that wasn't fun for them.
It's a bit creepy, isn't it? See, for me, it's the emu. I've said this before on the show. Yeah. I'm scared of emus. They look evil. They're just the little beady eyes. They're going to get you.
Yeah.
But there's something else you should be worried about, because there seems to be a spate of attacks happening in southern Queensland at the moment.
Okay.
And I'm talking about goannas.
Oh, they are frightening.
Yeah.
They go you, don't they, goannas? Do they just randomly go you? Is that the Komodo dragon I'm thinking of?
I'm not sure.
Same family.
All I know about goannas is they've got that bacteria, that toxic bacteria in their mouth because they're carnivores. If they bite you, it can actually cause a bit of pain and stuff.
But
there's been two attacks, and then the most recent one happened about 120 kilometres outside of Brisbane in a place called Tugulawa.
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 Never heard of Tugulawa.
Tugulawa, it's a great place. Oh. Yeah, you should go there. But basically what's happened is this guy was on his property and this goanna was going his peacocks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just having a crack at the peacocks.
He's cornered his peacocks and he's thinking, hang on, back away.
From the peacocks.
Get away from my peacocks.
I would do the same.
Yeah, well, they're beautiful little birds, aren't they? Anyway, so
What's he doing with peacocks? Like, is he selling the feathers or like, if he's farming peacocks, what's the byproduct?
I don't want to
ask
questions, okay? Because if a man can't keep peacocks in his property,
he can do whatever he wants with his peacocks.
Why can't he keep them? Anyways, so what happened was this guy, he picked it up, and then the thing basically used its tail to pull the itself closer into his body, and then it dug its claws into him. It made him fall over. Oh. It was really nasty.
Yeah.
But he managed to get away, and he called a paramedic. The paramedic came to help him out because obviously he's got these lacerations and things.
Yeah.
And then the goanna came up and went the paramedic. Again.
It's just a one goanna army, really, isn't it? It's going
crazy.
The peacocks, it's going everywhere. His name, by the way, I had a quick look at this, is Mr. Smallhorn.
Yeah, Paul Smallhorn is his name.
Paul Smallhorn.
Yeah.
It's a good job the goanna didn't grab him on his small horn. Then he really would have needed an ambulance.
Summer feels good.
Summer. I love the outdoors.
We love our city.
I just love being out in the water.
Central Coast 2GO.
It's a feel-good summer on 2GO.
Summer feels good.
In a galaxy far, far away.
Capcom, we're go for landing.
It's time for Space News.
I'm not going to lie. This is probably the saddest space news I've ever had to deliver, and I'm just going to try and keep it together, guys.
Hang on. Let me just...
After 15 years on Mars, yesterday NASA announced that the rover Opportunity, which has sent back some amazing photos and some crazy good data...
I know, right?
It's been silent, you know. It's been silent for 8 months. We all thought, what's happened? And then we realised there was a massive dust storm on Mars and that, you know, Opportunity just couldn't send the signal back. Last summer, you know, it was just this dust storm and it blocked the sunlight and the solar panels just gave up. And it was... the recovery commands. They've tried 1,000 different recovery commands to get Opportunity to work again. But no, yesterday, after 15 years on Mars... Opportunity has been declared dead.
And I mean, it's just so emotional because the guy was a little trooper.
He was a little trooper.
He was only meant to last 3 months and he did it 15 years.
15 years. 15 what a little years. Soldier. Just kept soldiering on Mars.
Literally roving around.
Dust storm after dust storm. Just gathering data like a little trooper.
So today we say farewell to...
Opportunity.
It's a sad day.
It is a sad day.
I don't want to... make you possibly more emotional, but I do have some sad news for you as what the last message was
from Opportunity. I've not heard this.
It's quite poetic.
Is it?
And
what did it say? This is before the dust storm.
This is the last message they ever got from Opportunity.
Yeah.
My battery is low and it's getting dark.
Oh my God. Farewell, very... Rover. Farewell, Opportunity.
It's very sad.
We love you.
107.7 2GO.
There's a trend that's been brought to my attention and I feel a little bit weird about it.
Okay.
So I wanted to just run it past you, Witto.
You're a pretty easygoing person. I mean, you understand.
I do. I put up with people's quirks or I accept people's quirks because I'm a pretty quirky character myself.
Yeah.
So I try not to judge.
Kind of,
yeah.
Is this to weird you out? It's going to be something strange.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what you think because you're one of those people that likes to be clean and that likes everything to be in its place. And you're very much, you clean the fish tank in the office every week.
Yep.
Every fortnight, on a Friday.
Today's the day, actually. Today's, it's an exciting day.
There you go.
Yeah.
I've often seen you wiping down desks with, the antibacterial spray and stuff like that. So I know that this...
I am a Virgo male.
Yes.
I'm neat, I'm tidy, I'm on time. It's just who I am. I can't change it.
That's who you are. Well, tell me what you think of this. There's a growing trend of men who say they need to remove all of their clothing when they go to the toilet to do number twos. Let me just say that again in case you thought that was a mistake.
Yeah.
Guys are going into toilets and stripping completely naked, socks, shoes, underpants, pants, shirt, tie, whatever they've got on, jacket, and then doing their business.
Is this all the time?
Every single time. So there's a whole trend and it's kind of coming out now on social media that people are going, oh, actually I do that too. Oh, I do that too. And people are kind of going, oh, I didn't realise there were other people that do this, but there's a whole group of people.
In a public bathroom even?
Even in a public bathroom.
That's strange.
Even at their friend's house. Even at their mother-in-law's house.
What's the thought process behind getting completely nude for number two?
They say...
What, is it restrictive? Are you just kind of like...
I feel more free and comfortable when I'm naked. Clothes just make me hot and constricted. That's the kind of stuff people are saying. They say whenever I'm somewhere private, even at work, I get fully undressed for it and fold up my clothes. One guy said that he places his shoes down and then folds everything to go neatly on top of the shoes so that none of his clothes touch the bathroom floor.
God,
which is just, this is a lot of effort.
I mean, I know there's a coat hook on the back of the toilet door, but that is for literally coats.
And handbags if you're a woman.
And handbags if you're a lady, of course. Yeah. Now, I don't understand. Could you imagine walking past a stall? And you know how sometimes you see the person's feet when you walk past? Can you imagine seeing a pair of shoes with clothes neatly folded on top of it? That'd be a very weird thing to do.
I'm thinking that's going to take a long time, right?
Yeah.
By the time you undress, fold, put neatly, everything stacked on the shoe. Yeah. This is just the most bizarre thing I've ever read.
Even for me, by my standards, this is out there.
You're not one of those people.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the weirdest thing we've got at home is a squatty potty.
What's a squatty potty?
You never heard of a squatty potty?
Oh, the little step?
Yeah, there's
a little step you put your feet on? Is it?
The idea is that when you do number twos, you're meant to kind of be crouching.
Oh.
So there's this squatty potty that lives underneath the toilet and you pull it out and you rest your feet on it when it raises your feet up so it relaxes.
Okay.
And yeah, is that weird?
A little bit, maybe. But no, you do you. That's right, unless you're not naked. The thing is, because we're here on the radio, we often have to race to the toilet and do whatever it is we're doing in a very short time frame.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't be able to take all your clothes off. That would just not work.
I'll see how long I've got now. I'll give it a go.
107.7 CGO.
I want to mention a story out of Arizona in the States, which is sad but dumb. Okay. Now, there was a couple of guys. They were out. They were shooting. Of course, they were shooting.
Of course, they were shooting. It's Arizona. It's the US. Everyone's got America. Everyone's got guns.
Yeah, exactly. So they were out. They were shooting.
What were they shooting?
A .223 single shot rifle. .22.
What? They're just out on a rifle range.
That's a .22, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a .22.
I've got no idea, mate. I don't want to know about the guns.
Anyways,
I'd rather be ignorant.
They're shooting a .22 rifle, and they're shooting at a ballistic vest. And it's a tree-lined area, so there's no one around. It's like a bulletproof vest.
Oh, right. Okay, so they're just shooting at the vest.
I don't know why they're doing this, but they're doing
America.
This. And then the next step, I have no idea why they did this, but one of the guys said, hey, I'll put on the vest, shoot the vest while I'm wearing it.
I know what's going
to
happen here.
And I'll tell you, you don't need me to tell you what happened, right?
He got shot.
He got shot, He died in surgery. Very, very sad, but just so stupid at the same time.
How dumb.
Just dumb, dumb, dumb. Now, this guy, I think, is going to be up for a Darwin Award. Do you know what the Darwin Awards are?
Yeah, yeah. So I heard of these quite a few years ago. They've been around for a few decades. Darwin, of course, was about survival of the fittest. So people who do dumb things and die join the Darwin Awards. Yeah. And there's a whole host of them. I remember reading about a guy who went up a telegraph pole when he was a bit tipsy and decided to do a wee off the telegraph pole, which then connected to the electrical wires and electrocuted him.
And that's the kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing these guys are going to be joining, including the guy who was in Italy on the ski fields and he had a few drinks one night. He thought, you know what, I'm going to steal this protective barrier off the pole here.
The protective cushioning around the pole.
And I'm going to sled down the hill in this. It's going to be great.
Great.
He did it and he had a lot of fun. Problem is he hit the pole that he took the protective barrier off.
Oh, the very pole that he
took. The very pole.
That was supposed to protect him.
Died instantly.
Oh my God. People are so dumb.
Now, I mention this as kind of a warning. Please don't do dumb things.
Mm.
Be smart. Be sensible.
Mm.
And don't go to extremes as well, because I've got one Darwin Award for you, which I have to tell you. A guy went over Niagara Falls, right? And this has been done before. People have done it in the old times in barrels and all that
and
kind stuff
like that. Yeah.
Someone decided one day they want to do it in a jet ski.
That seems like a really dumb idea from the get-go, right?
No. It gets better than that. He wanted to do it in a jet ski with a rocket booster.
Okay.
And a parachute.
Oh,
so he's got to have a way to, obviously land safely and whatnot. Yeah. Poor guy forgot that things get wet, though, and they don't work very well when they're wet. So he went over in the jet ski. Rocket booster failed to fire.
God.
And then the parachute wasn't waterproof. And unfortunately...
Oh, my God.
I know, right? So, please...
The moral of the story is...
Don't do dumb things.
Well, don't do dumb things. Can you imagine the cause of death on his death certificate? It'd be death by soggy parachute and being an idiot.
107.7 2GR.
Tinder and Bumble and all the dating apps would have been getting a serious workout yesterday.
Yes.
Probably Wednesday, actually. Wednesday people would have gone, oh, it's Valentine's Day tomorrow. I'm going to see if I can, set myself up on a date or whatever. Mm. I know they would have been really running hot yesterday with people who want to go out for dinner and, go to the movies and stuff like that.
See, if I was single and on Tinder, I think I'd hide on Valentine's Day.
You reckon?
Yeah, I think I'd stay away.
I don't know. I think people don't want to be alone on Valentine's Day, so they'd rather set up a date or...
Maybe. Whatever.
Anyway.
Yeah.
There's a new dating app, and it's called Tudder.
Tudder?
Tudder.
Like ta-da?
Kind of.
Yeah.
More like udder with a T on the front.
Oh.
Tudder, and it's a Tinder-style app that helps farmers find breeding matches for their cattle.
Oh, this is great.
This is
brilliant.
Genius.
Finally, we've been asking for this for a long time.
Agricultural version of Tinder.
Mm.
So Tudder. So basically, it's photos of cows.
Yep.
And you swipe, because if you've got a cow that you want to mate with another cow, or a bull, I should say.
Yeah.
You swipe.
Hey, if two cows want to, that's...
There's no judgment from me.
That's fine.
Everybody do your own thing.
Yeah.
But you have to swipe right, and then when you swipe right to show interest or left to reject, you hear a sound. That's right. You hear a moo sound.
Moo.
If you go, no, I don't like her tail, it's not long enough. That's right.
See you later.
Or those udders are hanging too low, I'm sorry. I don't think that was a cow, but anyway, or, maybe the colouring's not right. We don't want that kind of coloured cow. That sounded a bit like me. I'm just imagining the farmer, right?
Yeah.
It's the end of a working week. It's a Friday. He's got a cold beer in his hand. He's sitting on the porch. Just having a go at Tudder. Just, look at that rump shot,
Oh, that's what I've got, yeah.
And that udder pick, that's really got it going for me, farmers would be actually enjoying that, I reckon.
Yeah.
I reckon they would.
Potentially, maybe.
Hilarious.
I think the whole thing's utterly ridiculous. Thanks for that one.
107.7 TGO.
We've got tickets to the Red Hot Summer Tour to give away because we're presenting Suzy Quatro, the Angels, when they come to the coast of the Red Hot Summer Tour in 2019. Tickets selling quick, ticketmaster.com.au, just to get involved in the conversation.
Absolutely. Why should the kids have all the festival fun?
Yeah, exactly. So you can go along and
great.
Enjoy Suzy and the Angels. It's going to be great.
Suzy DiMarchi from Baby Animals. Mm-hmm, oh, my God, they go off. So I want to talk about something that I reckon is going to, you know, make everybody, especially women, go, oh, it's from Saudi Arabia. In the news in the last couple of days, Apple and Google have been coming under fire for having an app or a program called Absher on their services.
Yep.
Now, this is a really restrictive app that men use to control women in Saudi Arabia. Now, it's not new news. The men in Saudi Arabia restrict women and repress women, yep. And women in Saudi Arabia really don't have the same human rights that other women have.
It's right? Saudi Arabia where women have just been allowed to start driving.
Only just, yeah. I think. And sometimes they have to have males with them every second of the day mm-hmm. when they're not in the home.
Yep.
So this is an app that the government has put out yeah. and the monarchy, and it's basically so that men can keep track of their female family members wherever they go. Mm-hmm. It means if they cross the border, it sends an SMS alert, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, but it also means that if a lady wants to get a copy of a birth certificate, it sends an alert to them.
Yes.
And they have to allow it.
Absolutely.
It's
so
crazy.
Apple and Google are now coming under fire for allowing this to be on their platforms. People are saying this is restrictive of human rights and it yeah. shouldn't be allowed. So they are reviewing the app and whether it can live on their platforms. And I think that's, you know, a really great thing. And I hope that they come to the conclusion that it shouldn't be on their
yeah.
on their platforms.
Well, there is an app on your phone that does something similar.
Is there?
Yeah, yeah.
It lets iPhone?
On your iPhone. It lets you find people. It's called Find Friends. And it doesn't do anything like control them. You can't, like, you know, say they can get a birth certificate or not.
I don't think I've ever used it.
It just lets you know where they are. It's called Find Friends. You never use it?
So what do you mean? So if you wanted to find me,
yeah.
you would plug what my name or number or whatever into Friends.
How does it work like that? So you got to allow it. So it's an app. You open it up and then you can send an invite to someone and say, hey, Widow wants to share his location with you. And from that point on, that person can always find where you are, no matter where you are in the world.
Right.
It'll tell you where you are to the very building or that you're in.
Wow. I don't think I like that.
I've got it. I use it.
Do you use it?
Yeah, Find Friends. I use it. My wife and I use it. My parents, they're on it.
Hang on, what are you using this for with Alyssa?
Oh, just, you know, like the yesterday, I dropped the car off to get serviced and she was coming to pick me up.
Yeah.
And I was wondering how long she's going to be, where she's at. Instead of calling her, I just use the Find Friends app and go, oh, okay, she's 3-4 streets away. She'll be here in no time. It's easy.
But why? I find that weird. Like, why wouldn't you just text her and go, oh, you know, or
well,
I don't know, just wait.
Well, like
why do you need
to
know?
My parents, it's great for my parents because sometimes when they're in Sydney, we'll drive home. And, you know, they don't know if we're home yet or not. They can just go on the app and say, oh, yeah, they're home, they're safe, all's good.
I don't know. I just feel a bit weird about this. I think it's really unnecessary. Like, we're just tracking each other's movements all the time. There is no privacy left at all.
See, this is the thing. I tell people about this app and that, you know, Alyssa and I, my parents, yeah. everyone's on it. And they freak out because I've got nothing to hide. I've got nothing.
Yeah, but it's not about that, Widow. It's about that whole privacy thing. Like, I don't want people to know where I am every second of the day. I don't want to be trackable. I don't want people to.
Yeah, but they're not like, it's not like companies. It's just your daughter, for instance. Maybe you and your daughter could do it.
No, I don't want her to know. And I don't want to know where she is. She needs the freedom to do what she wants. She's been overseas for 3 months.
Yeah.
And I haven't tracked her because she's an adult and she's a human and she needs the freedom to do what she wants.
But have you at points wondered how she's going, if she's okay? Like, has she told you she's going out one night?
Yeah.
And have you wondered, has she got home safely?
Yeah, of course. I'm a parent, but I don't need to track her. Mm. I trust that she will let me know if there's a problem. I think that's... I'd love to know what the Central Coast thinks of this, actually. Is this normal or nuts? 13, 27, 10.
Yeah.
I really do.
And using the Find Friends app.
Well, I just want to know whether people think this is too far.
Yeah.
Going too far or whether I'm overreacting.
All right. Using the Find Friends app for friends and family. Is it normal or nuts? 13, 27, 10.
I say nuts.
I say normal.
Guy from Erina. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
What do you think? Do you think this Find Friends app is a bit weird or do you use it?
I think it's nuts. I think it's really creepy. I'm with you, Mandy.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I just think it's really controlling and I think that there's like major breach of trust issues and all that kind of stuff that could arise from that.
Yeah, I think for couples, like obviously Widow and his wife are really great couple
yeah.
and have no
yeah.
issues, but
yeah.
if you put
Absolutely.
That you put that in a couple where there might be some jealousy or something like that, that could
yeah,
be really
yeah.
problematic, I reckon.
But then yeah, isn't like that jealousy a problem to begin with anyway?
Well,
like you shouldn't have that jealousy. You should trust your partner.
I don't know. I just think that it's a real breach of privacy and I think that it's a bit of a, like, not saying that you guys, Widow, have you know, control issues or anything like that. But I think in the wrong person, in the wrong hands, that could be a real problem with control.
Wow. Thank you, Di. Great to hear your take on this. Let's go to Killarney Vale and Kerry. Hi, Kerry.
Hi, how are you guys?
Really good. Happy Friday. Now tell me, are you using this Find Friends?
I was using the app Find My iPhone.
Oh, yeah.
When my daughter was in high school, she used to be a bit of a devil. She used to wag quite often.
Yep.
So we bought her a new iPhone, which she was wrapped in, and we put the Find My iPhone app on it.
Yep.
And I'd go on it at various times during the day, and it would pop up that instead of being at Birkenfeld campus, she'd be at Long Jetty. So,
okay.
I would ring her, and her dad's a bus driver, and I'd say, "Where are you, babe?" "Oh, Mum, you know, I'm just at school. We're just on recess." Well, one of the bus drivers thought that he saw you down at Long Jetty, but he must have been mistaken. Mum, yeah. No, it wasn't me.
Oh, wow. Kerry, that's interesting.
But on the other side of it, she did go to a party with some friends one night who all just got with these boys and disappeared, and she rang me and had no idea where she was.
Okay, and you were able to find her really quickly. That's
wow. That's
a whole different take on this. This
could be normal in the sense of could be a safety thing
for parents. I can see this.
She had absolutely no idea where she was. She was at this party. Wow. All her friends had left. She didn't know anybody. She rang me in tears and said, "I don't know where I am." And I said, "I'll come and get you."
Oh, see, there's a good reason for it.
That
Kerry,
is
thank
really
you so much for
interesting,
your call.
Kerry, and I hadn't thought of it from a parental perspective. And I suppose the teenage years is that, you know, when we're always worried about where our kids are and what they're doing. Okay, so I think this is, I don't think we've got a conclusive answer for this one. I don't think we can say it's normal or nuts because we've had one of each.
So is this the first normal or nuts we're going to have where it's
I think it's a draw.
I think
it definitely is a draw. I think that some people think it's crazy and controlling and you know, a breach of privacy. And some people think it's just a tool that you use to help keep people safe and see where people are.
I can't believe it. After we've done normal
we've done
nuts for ages,
a year,
and
over
we've
a
actually
year. We've
stumped the Central Coast on one.
Never had a draw.
Well, there you go.
107.7 2GO.
I know that somebody called today Valentine's Day Boxing Day, which is like the day after Valentine's Day. But I think we can just keep the love going. I mean, why not? Especially with this. Is this Kenny G?
Yeah, we'll say Kenny G.
Sounds like a 70s soap TV show on Channel 7.
It sounds like music that you'd find in an elevator or maybe a supermarket back in the 70s. Anyway, I thought we'd go around the grounds and do a little bit of a post-Valentine's Day match report.
Okay.
Because I happen to know Al had a big day. So
I had a big day.
Well, let's just start with you. I rocked home yesterday. Big Gay Al is our producer and he's living with me at the moment just for a few weeks before moving off to New Zealand. And I rocked up yesterday before you. I got home before you and I drove into the driveway and honestly, the biggest bunch of flowers I've ever seen in my life is at my doorstep. And, you know, there maybe was a moment where I thought, oh, someone loves me.
Aww.
Someone loves me and someone's bought me an enormous bunch of flowers. This is the best ever. And I was all excited and I was grinning and I got to the front door and the letter on it was like Alan Shepherd. And I thought, well, fantastic. Big Gay Al has had a successful Valentine's Day.
I really
day.
Wish you had like surveillance cameras on your face at that moment.
Yeah, I know. There's a little bit of disappointment, I'm not going to lie. But seriously, a beautiful, enormous, expensive bunch of flowers from your current partner.
What kind of flowers are we talking? Were they roses or were they gerberas?
They weren't
or?
Cheapies. They weren't cheap. This was a decorative bunch. This isn't your run-of-the-mill bunch.
Yeah.
It actually made me feel really bad. Because I'm seeing a guy named Luke at the moment, and I had organised because he works in Sydney and I work here, obviously on the coast.
Yeah,
and I said to him, "Well, how about I order you Uber Eats food on the app and get it delivered?
Oh, like a nice lunch.
I can surprise you, even though he knows it's coming.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yes, but then he messaged me because I can't keep a surprise, obviously. Yeah. And I actually don't know where he works.
A new relationship.
Yeah, it is. And he goes, "Oh, actually, because he actually finishes up in his job on Monday. So his team said, well, we'll take you out today. We can have
he was already out for lunch. You couldn't deliver the lunch. Oh,
and then
dear.
You informed me about the flowers and I felt so bad all yesterday.
So you did nothing for him?
No,
wow.
I went to Guzman and bought a burrito and stuffed my face in guilt.
Happy Valentine's to me.
Oh, dear.
Widow, you, I know, bought a beautiful card for Alyssa.
Yeah,
you said it was going to make her cry. Did it make her cry?
It did. It made her cry. It was really beautiful.
Lovely.
It was nice. We had a nice night planned, actually.
What about the scratchies? I know you got her the most unromantic gift possible, which was scratchies.
Yeah, no, we decided to take it easy, and I did. I got her a beautiful card. She cried. She enjoyed the scratchies. Hasn't scratched them yet, but she's excited to scratch them. Yeah. But we said, look, instead of spending money on flowers and stuff, let's get Chinese. So we ordered like $50 worth of Chinese. Got the really nice stuff.
Nice.
And we said, let's watch a movie together. Let's just hang out. It'll be really nice. You know, new parents, we don't get much time to do that.
Yeah.
And then just, we'd finished Chinese, we'd just sit, get into the good part of the movie about three quarters of the way through, and, you know, this starts.
That's contraception.
Well, it might be acting as contraception in their household. Wow.
Poor little Evie had a bad night. She had an upset tummy, so she was up and down all night.
So, right, okay. No, none of this music happening at your house then.
No. And I got to sleep about 1 o'clock and I was up again at 3:45. So I'm feeling great today.
Feeling fantastic. Yeah. Well, very good, Tim.
Wait a minute. You don't get to end the conversation there, right?
Mandy is glowing today.
Oh, yeah. Enough already.
Wait. That shirt you are wearing is not a Mandy shirt. It's quite large on your petite frame.
Widow.
Whose shirt is that?
I may have had a sleepover.
Hello, boys.
107.7.
Geo. A flock of seagulls.
And like a flock of seagulls, the lovely Mike Duncan has flown into the studio. Let's put his mic on. You're just picking up chips off the floor.
Yeah, I am. You know that song Iran we just played?
Yeah.
Their follow-up Iraq didn't work.
Bombed
in the charts. It was no good.
Oh,
I love it, Mickey D.
Stick to your day job.
I'm going to flock off.
Mickey D is up next with a whole heap of Friday fun ones to get you through your workday and get you to your weekend.
Yeah, and I've got an amazing song in 20 minutes from Backman Turner Overdrive.
Oh.
And it isn't You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. It's another one. You're going to love this song.
Oh, he's pumped and ready to go.
Well, Summer Breakfast of Mandy Widow done for another week. We got to get out of here. If you missed anything, catch up, download the app, 2gfm.com.au is where you can do that.
Have a great weekend and we'll see you next week.
Summer feels good.
Summer. I love the outdoors.
We love our city.
I just love being out in the water.
Central Coast 2GO.
It's a feel-good summer on 2GO.
Summer feels good.